Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host today, Gwen Scheltemer, Chris Cameron, who operates Zoom for us and makes us sound good, and our guest today, writer Karen Raleigh. Each week, we visit with authors, editors, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, and we give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. We're very pleased to have Karen Raleigh with us today. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Karen Raleigh was raised in Milford, the village where her great-great-grandfather, William Byron Scott, who died in 1921, owned and operated historic Scott's Mill. One of her early articles was a history of Scott's Mill, which was published in the County Magazine in 1977. She studied English literature and creative writing at Queen's as a mature student while working at Books and Company, Picton's iconic bookstore. Karen's short stories, poetry and journalism have been published in Lake Effect, The Queen's Feminist Review, Ultraviolet, County Magazine, Express, Umbrella, and Independently Reviewed. The story she's going to read for us was published in an anthology by Cressy Lakeside Books in The County Wave. She is currently working on a novel and now lives outside Picton in a century farmhouse on 12 acres of land with her husband, writer J.D. Carpenter. You've been writing and publishing your work since you were in high school, Karen. Tell us about how you first broke into the world of professional writing and the research you did into local history. Was your ambition to become a journalist?
Back in high school, which was back before the turn of the century in the 1900s, I was assigned research essays. I did quite a few on just by interviewing folks in our small village, the small village of Milford. I did one on the Milford Mills, the Hungry 30s, and on welfare, and a one-room schoolhouse in Milford. Then I took a job at the Conservation Authority here in Prince Edward County one summer, and they were restoring a mill in Milford, which turned out to be my great-great-grandfather's mill, and I was asked to write a brochure and article about it. So I got my old essay from high school and fixed it up and did that, and then I submitted it to County Magazine, rewrote it, and they published it as an article. And did I want to be a journalist? I didn't even think of it at the time, although when I worked for the bookstore, I wrote book reviews for them. I worked for the county weekly newspaper for a while, and I did articles for their Home and Gardens magazine. You should have been there to tell me to do that back then.
Well, you became a journalist, whether you were not.
Yeah.
Yes. So you wrote a lot of fiction while at school, using your journal assignments as the excuse, and the first pieces you wrote were published in Family Life in 2001. Tell us about that.
Well, I was looking for a home for some of my stories, and I had written one about a girlfriend who had died when I was in high school, and I used to ride my pony around Milford with her. So I thought that I found a good home for it in Family Life, submitted it, and they liked it and published it. And then I published a few poems with them as well.
And we'll ask you if you'd like to read a poem in a bit. So why did you decide to study biology then in university? Well, when you decided this wasn't for you, you took a different direction for a while. Why did you stop writing?
I took biology because I wanted to be a teacher, a kindergarten teacher in the beginning, or a veterinarian. I loved math and science, but I went to university for 2 years and then I became really homesick. I missed my horses and my family. So after 2 years, I came home and I got a job in a bank and I got married and had three children. I did homeschool them, so I got the schooling in. I just took odd jobs, house cleaning, cleaned cottages, delivered newspapers, took in laundry. And that was 20 years gone.
Wow.
Just like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
They go by quickly when you've got kids.
Yeah.
But you came back to writing in 1991. So what prompted you to do that? What were you inspired to write at that time?
Some friends invited me into a book club. And our first book was And Ladies of the Club, by Helen Hooven Santmeyer. And it's a story about six women who start a literary cultural club. And it follows their lives and who they're married to and, you know, how they get married. They're young women in the beginning and elderly at the end of the book. And it just changed my whole way of thinking, changed my life, how I thought about marriage, about life. And poems just started pouring out. I wrote about 40 poems at that time. And so that's how I got back into writing.
Okay, so how about reading to us from some of your stories or poems?
I have a poem that I wrote while I was doing some supply teaching. It's called Jesus Loves the Little Children, and So Do I. Four teachers, eight students, special education class. My long navy skirt, delicate yellow roses, new pink sweater set, severely out of place in this place. Mike, the bus monitor, comes in late with Nathan, medication, hugs. Watch your back, he bites, Mrs. Cooper warns. Nathan overturns her chair, computer to the floor, bangs his head against the wall. I notice a cage on the ceiling fan, see Raymond standing beneath it, eyes rotating with demon's glee, food in hand. I help Mrs. Peterson out of a headlock, neck wrenched, necklace broken. Would I please hold his hands? We are changing Nathan's diaper.
Thank you, Karen. What are you writing right now?
I'm working on that story, No Such Thing as Gravity. It's very long. It's about 4,300 words. My stories tend to be long, and then it's difficult to find a home for them. So I'm working on cutting it down and polishing it.
What do you think is the ideal for a short story that, you know, you want to send to a journal or a magazine? What do you find is the most acceptable length?
They usually ask for 2,500 words.
Are you going to read a bit of story now?
Oh, sure. I'm going to read from a short story called Sociables. It's a story about an unhappy marriage, and it's written from the point of view of the husband. We're up at the cabin on our hands and knees, nailing floorboards to joists, when she rises on her haunches and starts hammering furiously, grinning like a hyena, pounding two, three, four nails to my one. You'd think we could enjoy building the porch, but no, she has to turn everything into a competition. She buys a bird feeder, a bird bath, and bamboo wind chimes, and a maple sapling. Now don't go thinking that's easy to plant. The root ball alone is the size of a boulder. I'm chopping at the side of the hole with a spade, trying to loosen rocks when she elbows me out of the way, pickaxe in hand. She makes short work of it all right, claps me on the back, wipes her brow, and there I am in short pants, her idiot again. I hold the ladder while she installs a solar panel. Now she can run a heater, a lamp, a radio, a kettle, a coffee bean grinder, and a mini fridge for her beer. Only organic craft beer in a bottle, not the piss in a can she says I drink. And don't get me started on her coffee. It has to be fair trade, dark roast, whole bean, brewed in a French press, a Le Creuset French press. A Mediterranean blue Le Creuset French press. I remember when we used to make Maxwell House in our Sunbeam coffee maker. We'd lace it with Bailey's, took the edge off our mornings. But since we built the cabin, she drinks her coffee up there, alone in her, and I quote, beloved peace and quiet. For hours on end. Doing what? Your guess is as good as mine. Sun salutations? Yoga? Maybe she reads a self-help book, or draws a picture of a little wildflower, or writes a little poem like, the merry little breeze plays tags with the leaves, or strolls through the field and woods, armed with binoculars and field guides, stopping here and there to identify a mushroom or weed or scat, or all tuckered out, flops on the futon, resting her big head on her special soybean pillow. See, I can wax poetic. I just don't do it regularly. I don't want to show off or hurt someone's feelings. Someone a little less educated, shall we say? Someone who says irregardless, for example? Am I being harsh? Let your wife take a creative writing course and see what happens. See if, after a month or two, she still thinks you're the cat's meow. I bet dollars to donuts you'll suddenly become an insensitive bore. I check my email and pay some bills, with Bonnie rate cranked, but not past 42 on the volume control. Over 42, and my wife comes screaming down the hill from the cabin. She swears she can feel the beat of my subwoofer right through the ground into her sensitive little feet. She says we may as well have an industrial wind turbine on our property. I think that's a great idea. Then she could buy all the tacky cow creamers she wants. My pension check would be my own. I worked hard for my pension, by the way. Accountant, income tax, 35 years with the same company. 35 years with the same wife. She's volunteering at the thrift shop today. It's closed for seasonal changeover. Missing, one wife, mouse brown hair, braids, last seen wearing a tree hugger t-shirt, jeans, and a mood ring. You know, the I've been to Glastonbury, I can read your chakra type. It's going to be a long day. A person can only play so many games of solitaire, and my wife's not here to beat me at Yahtzee. Maybe I'll watch the fireplace channel. Ha ha. That's a good one. See, I have a sense of humor.
Thank you. She obviously is a difficult woman to be married to. And now we'll take a short break.